Time now for Vikings Fan Line on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Your chance to talk about today's game with the Vikings broadcast team. Add to the conversation on Vikings Fan Line by calling 651-989-KFAN or toll free 1-800-320-5326. Now it's your reaction to all the action. Vikings Fan Line. Here's KFAN's Ron Johnson and Eric Nordquist.
34-28 the final. The Vikings lead by 11 with less than 7 minutes to go. Panthers find a way to tie it up. Game-winning kick is no good. Took OT. KJ Osborne is the hero in the end zone today. They improved to 3-3 in the season as they enter the bye. I am Nordo from 9 to noon. This is Vikings Fan Line, joined every single game week by Ron Johnson. Your call, 651-989-5326, 800-320-5326, or via social, use the hashtag KFANVikes and participate in the conversation. Many, many things to get to, but first, KJ Osborne was with our own Greg Coleman. Let's hear from the touchdown maker and the game winner himself, KJ with Greg Coleman after the game.
The game winner, KJ Osborne. I'm not going to say a young man that came out of nowhere, but from last year, watching you on the practice squad to how you have matured and evolved for this football team and this offense, what does this game mean to you?
It's everything, man. It's awesome. You know, it's a lot of preparation and time that goes into this, obviously. But, you know, to have Kurt trust me in those situations and these situations before, you know, in previous games, that means everything to me. And, you know, I'm just going to keep grinding, keep trying to stack days and continue to be a better player for this team.
You know, over the last year and up until this year, we would talk, we would have conversations. And watching you, I think I asked you, are you responding, are you reacting? You remember those conversations?
Yes, I do remember those conversations.
And you have been responding because of why?
I think my preparation and my preparation and my confidence. My preparation gives me the confidence to go out there and play fast, you know, read the defense, you know, be able to you know, do the things that, you know, not what rookies do, but, you know, like the vets do, you know, see deeper in the game of football to do, you know, again, recognize the defense or the blitz coming or things like that, like your IQ kind of. It helps you play faster and be more efficient and able to make plays.
You've got some great mates in All-Pro Adam Thielen, Justin Jefferson. Having those guys as mentors, tutors, what does it mean?
It means everything. I just said it in my last interview, and I think last week, you know, I just hugged them both and thanked them. You know, just from ever since I got drafted here, you know, talking to Adam, you know, I called him on the phone. You know, he's been open arms and helping me. Obviously, me and Jess, we trained together for the combine, drafted us to the same team, so we talk a lot. You know, seeing what those guys do in the practice field, watching their film, you know, I try to steal things from them all the time. They're constantly giving me advice, and we're talking. So, you know, I'm blessed to play with, you know, two superstars like that, because that helps me and makes me a better player.
You talk about the superstar receivers, but talk to me about your quarterback. You talked about the confidence that he has in you. How has that relationship developed?
Good. It's been great. You know, eight is the man. That's our guy. And we trust him in those situations, you know, to go out there and lead us down there. And like I said, he's done it time and time again. He did it last week. He did it this week. He did it in Arizona. He did it in Cincinnati. That's our guy. And I think a lot of people need to start giving him more respect than they do, because, I mean, he's a fantastic football player.
Last question before we let you go. Take us through the play that won the game for the Minnesota Vikings.
Right. So it was we call it a cork. And so Justin's going out on the curl. I'm going on a corner. Somebody's going on a flat. And the corner, you know, probably stayed down on Justin. I haven't seen the film yet, but the corner stayed down on Justin. The nickel went with Conk, so that gave me, you know, one-on-one with the safety. And I was the second read, so, you know, I burst off the ball. I got a clean release. There was one-on-one with me and the safety. So, you know, I tried to, you know, lean him and nod him. And, you know, I won my matchup. You know, I turned and see the ball up. You know, I just finished the play. So, you know, that was awesome. A great way to get a hard-fought win and go into the bye week.
What is that under your left arm, my friend?
This is the game ball. This is the game ball. My mom wanted my touchdown ball, so she can probably get this one.
KJ Osborne, thank you so much. Congratulations. Appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
That's the young KJ Osborne. Heck of a wide receiver, guys. I'm glad he's on our team. Back to you in the studios.
Thank you so much, Greg. KJ Osborne, second year out of Miami, making plays, becoming a third down option, and became a game-winning touchdown option for Kirk Cousins today. And bringing Ron Johnson into the conversation at 3RonJohnson via Twitter. Ron, the way that Kirk is operating in these late game spots, this isn't just a short-term trend at this point now through six games. It was a drive with an opportunity to win at Cincy, a drive that ends in a game-winning missed kick by Greg Joseph at Arizona, does it against the Lions last week. Now this week, technically he does it twice, both in regulation and then in OT, you get the catch to KJ Osborne. How good has Kirk been in the clutchest of clutch moments trying to will this team to W's?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at Kirk Cousins' period, you said it. He's been clutch. He's made the plays at the end of games. It has not been one of those, you know, throw, nothing happens, you know, game over. Kirk Cousins is giving hope to this team. And regardless of what the fans say, regardless of what they tweet, Kirk Cousins is doing enough right now to help this team win. Technically, they probably should have 4 to 5 wins right now if you look at all the game-winning opportunities they've had, none of which the issues that happened were his fault, missed kicks, fumbles, whatever you want to, you know, however you look at it. So he's playing well. I mean, he's playing well. He's playing as one of the top 10 statistical quarterbacks out there right now. But then there's always going to be those fan favorites, and Kirk Cousins, for some reason, hasn't hit that echelon just yet. But he's doing enough to help his team at least get over the hump time in, time out.
Now, what's happening in the late stage of games on the other side of the ball, Ron? Because this is now two games in a row. Luckily, the Vikings have come out with W's in each of them. But it's not inspiring confidence into the rest of this season post-bye when you think about being up on 10 over Detroit last week with 4:28 to go. They score 11 to take the lead. We got to go down, and there's some heroics with Greg Joseph. Today, you're up 11 on them with around 7 and change, and I think they get a field goal with 4 and change remaining.
Mm-hmm.
A 96-yard drive.
Yep.
This is 2 weeks in a row where an offense has shown that they have no shot against this team. Jared Goff and the Lions, and now Sam Darnold today with drops like crazy, bad decision-making by the quarterback, the former Jet, all of those things, inability to run in big spots for the most part today. Although they did eclipse 100 yards. I think that's 13 straight games that the defense has allowed 100-plus.
Yep.
But in the late stages of these games defensively, we've allowed now two teams with just drastically poor offenses to put themselves back into a position to win. That's very concerning.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the Lions game, and you look at the last 2 minutes in a game, so the Vikings offense, 89 plays was the most, 21 first downs, tied for second. So the offense is doing their job. But the last 2 minutes, defense, 6.6 yards gained per play. That's 31st in the NFL. 4 TDs. That's 25th in the NFL. And, I mean, if you add the Lions game on there, I think that was one more in there. So they have to figure it out. I don't know if it's relaxed. I don't know if it's maybe they trust Kirk so much. I don't know if this is the football gods and this is the story they're writing for the Viking season where Kirk Cousins is going to have to be the hero. Where you continuously, it's like, you know, you see the lady fall in the scary movie and you're just like, I can't believe she fell. And then Superman or Spider-Man or somebody swoops in to save her. Like, that's the kind of season the Vikings
sounds
are
romantic.
Having. And then he pulls his mask down and gives her an upside-down kiss. But that's the season the Vikings are seem to have right now. Like, the defense is doing well early on in games. They're looking like world beaters. They're getting sacks. You know, Everson and all these guys are getting to the quarterback. And then towards the end, you're like, all right, it's a two-score game. Vikings have this under control. And somehow the team gets two scores. And either it comes down to a field goal, comes down to a fumble, comes down to another missed field goal, and today comes down to a winning, game-winning drive. A missed field goal first, you brought that up, and then a winning, game-winning drive in the overtime by Kirk Cousins. So it's just a story they're writing. You know, when they make the movie of the Minnesota Vikings from the 2021 season, hey, this is just going to be another chapter in the movie.
Yeah, I'm not enjoying the story thus far. We might need new writers. We'll see. 651-989-5326, 800-320-5326. Jonathan in Alexandria, welcome to Vikings Fan Line.
800-320-5326. Jonathan in Alexandria.
Jonathan.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I just kind of a question about what you guys were already talking about. I'm just trying to figure out how these games are so close at the end, and I thought of something this week that a guy said, I think an analyst said, like, how Zimmer, he doesn't really go up on teams because of his style, how just the style that they play. And I'm wondering how that plays into the fact at the end of the game, too. I don't know if he's in Kubiak's ear or not, but seems like they're just playing it safe at the end of games. But, yeah.
All right. Thank you, Jonathan. Anything in particular, whether it was on that 96-yard drive, I mean, we can pick apart, and I do want to pick apart some decision-making aspects of this game, but in particular, late stages of what you saw today in Charlotte on that 96-yard drive where we just got to just put a stop together. They get the fourth down play.
Right.
I think it was DJ Moore just roasting Cam Dantzler.
Yeah.
That's frustrating. No PP in the mix, I think, at that stage. He had cramps, according to the team. Anything in particular you saw or have seen late stages of games where you're just kind of scratching your head?
Yeah, I hope it was cramps. Because and with if it is that and you have a bye week, even if it's a twinge, he'll have a full week to come back, plus a week before they play Dallas. And so, but no, looking at that drive, honestly, it was a great chess move by the Panthers. So if you think about each situation, when teams are playing to the sticks, that's a lot of times what defenses say, oh, okay, just keep in front of you. Don't, you know, they're going to run a route to the sticks. And then Mike Zimmer runs some kind of pressure. They did the opposite of what normal coordinators do, which is like third and seven. You're going to run an 8-yard route or 9-yard route and try to get the first down and move it on. What he did was he ran a route where the corner had to sit, and he knows they're going to sit. So he's like, look, you're going to have a guy in your face, sit in the pocket, give him 1 second to get past the DB, and then you just got to launch it. And that's what Sam Darnold did. You know, I mean, he's had a decent season, or a really good season, actually, up until this point. But he's never done well against Mike Zimmer. It's only been one other time, but he has not done well against Mike Zimmer. So it was a great chess move by an offensive coordinator that guessed what Mike Zimmer was going to do and guessed right. You know, he said, look, let's run by him because we know they're going to sit on the sticks route thinking we're going to run something to try to get just a first down. And, you know, what's the point of playing for just the first down? Let's try to dagger him now when we get a chance. And it worked.
Yeah, and you're watching, as we're watching replays here on your station, Fox 9, Ron. 4 runs, 48 yards in the day for Sam Darnold. He got us in a couple of big spots with his legs today. That helps move the sticks. And it feels like we've had issues at times trying to stop quarterbacks that can get out and rumble down the field a little bit.
Yeah, I heard Bursich earlier with Muss in the pregame show on KFAN on my way back from the grocery store. And he was bringing that up. He was like, hey, this is what Sam Darnold does. He leads the team, I think, in touchdown runs or something like that.
He has five. Yes.
Yeah, like he actually is not a mobile quarterback, but he it suffices for what he does. Like he's not scared to take the ball down and run with it. And then that one long run, it was like, somebody please tackle this guy. Mm. And it, I think everybody was assuming the obligatory slide was coming, and he never slid. He just kind of wiggled and waggled through the defense. And the Panthers are using that. He does a great job recognizing man coverage. The minute he saw some kind of man where the backers' backs were turned and they were trying to get out of there to locate their guy, he knew, if I pull this down, there's nobody here chasing me besides a defensive lineman that I should be faster than. And he did a good job. So, again, it's part of that chess match of just having your quarterback ready. I mean, we saw Kirk Cousins do that against the Tampa Bay Bucks. You know, Pete brought that up, and we all talked about that. When you see man coverage or some type of coverage or the linebackers aren't paying attention to you because they have to cover a tight end and a running back, you cannot be afraid to pull the ball down and run. And, you know, Sam Darnold got him today.
The Vikings win 34-28 in overtime, another game in which this Vikings defense just cannot close the door on their opponent. But a victory is a victory. Team improves to 3-3. 651-989-5326. 800-320-5326. From Sam to Isaiah, Jay, Evan, Lance, Zach, and so many more. We will get to your calls as well. Hashtag KFAN Vikes via social media to chime in as well. I'm Eric Nordquist. Ron Johnson is here with me. You're listening to Fanline. This is Minnesota Vikings football.
Second and 13, Cousins shotgun. Looking to the left, steps up in the pocket. He'll fade to the end zone for KJ. Caught and touchdown! And the Minnesota Vikings have walked off on the Carolina Panthers. Kirk Cousins to KJ Osborne. A game-winning touchdown in overtime, and the Vikings beat Carolina 34-28. Let's go, Kirk. Let's go, KJ.
That was the game winner, 34-28. The Vikings win in overtime, beating the Carolina Panthers. Panthers start out 3-0. They fall now, losing three straight. Sam Darnold turning back into a pumpkin. They need Christian McCaffrey, who's now on IR. But this isn't Panthers fan line. It's Vikings fan line. 651-989-5326, 800-320-5326. Ron Johnson is here as always. I'm Nordo from 9 to noon in for Corey Cove. And let's jump right back into the phone lines here. Evan from Byron. Welcome to Vikings Fan Line.
Hey, guys, what a win, huh?
Yes.
I guess I'm just, mixed emotion, and I'm probably nitpicking here, but you know, with offense getting over 500 yards, 34 points, just curious what your guys' thoughts still are on the play calling. I feel like overall it was better than it has been, a little more aggressive, but again, I just felt like when it came down to the nitty-gritty part, it was kind of, we got conservative again, couldn't put them away. And on the flip side, too, just anything, wondering what you guys are seeing defensively, why in those situations under 2 minutes, putting teams away, what are we doing? Are we playing soft coverage? Are we not, are we just, should we be more aggressive on defense as well? Just curious what you guys' thoughts are on those things. And Nordo, can't wait to hear the victory montage tomorrow.
Hell yeah. Thank you, Evan. One of my favorite moments from the game prior to that that 96-yard drive, courtesy of Paul Allen and the game call.
If these Panthers go 96 yards, score a touchdown and get a two, just shut it down.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, PA. Here's what I'll to add on to that, Ron, in terms of play calling and those things. You score 34 points. It is indeed in some ways tough to nitpick. But I will say this, early on in the game, I saw for a defense as aggressive as the Panthers are and how quick they are to the boundaries, how quick they are to attack the ball.
Yep.
We saw a couple of screens to Dalvin work later in the game, but early on, we were really, it felt like, doing nothing but going backwards and just almost out of pure stubborn nature, trying to get Thielen out on the short wide receiver pass, getting him moving forward. I forget who it was, may have been Hassan Reddick, who blew up four offensive linemen to make a tackle for a loss in the mix. Like, some of those types of plays against that defense felt like they were doomed from the start. What did you see from the play calling mix today?
Well, I love the smoke screens. I mean, I said that in the broadcast on Fox 9, the pregame. I said,
so you love them.
I love this. I love it because it's literally an extended handoff. There's the only, so this is the thing, I'm not saying the only, because I know it's the Vikings and people are going to say we're cursed. It can happen to us. But the only real negative in a short pass is if one, the receiver can't catch, and two, he fumbles. We had the Justin Jefferson fumble. We know that. But that's, that more so I think is in the game, because Jonathan Vilma brought it up. The game early on, I don't think Justin Jefferson understood how fast the Panthers play and how good this defense really is, because when you say Carolina Panthers, you don't feel like, you know, it's not the Julius Peppers defense of the back, you know, when they used to be really, really good back then, you know.
Yeah.
And Deion Grant, you know, those guys. Now, and Luke Kuechly. You know, now it's them trying to figure out their identity. You look at their numbers. You know, they were first, they were second, and they were third, and then they were eighth in points. And so you could say, yep, those first three games, those teams weren't good they faced. Yep, but you still got to line up and play them. Those guys are getting paid just like they are. Now the pack is starting to come back to them, because you look at the Vikings, you look at the Cowboys. And so, yeah, they're in the Steelers. You're facing better teams now. But when I look at those passes, other than the Jefferson one and other than the Dalvin Cook one, I like it because it gets your ball, the ball into the playmaker's hand. I think the one where I don't know who got smacked in the face at the end towards the end of the game, but that one I think was Kirk's fault. I don't think that was smoke time. I think the DB, because usually a smoke is when the DB is like 7 yards off and you look at the box and the box count is 8 and you only have 6 blockers or 7 blockers. So you just take the one-on-one matchup. I felt like that DB was a little too close to throw the smoke. I almost would have thrown the smoke and go, because I think Vilma brought that up too in the telecast. He said, hey, Kirk Cousins has to be careful because these Panthers DBs are coming. They came one time on Thielen, and Thielen was able to break inside and get a big run. On that one, and again, that's the chess match. I don't know if we have the smoke and go yet. We might, but that's got to be something where Kirk and Peyton Manning used to do this, where he would call the smoke and then he made like a jackhammer movement.
Yeah.
That's just saying and go. Like, you have a smoke and go. He's going to jackhammer it. And then the receiver knows, boom, I'm going to give you 2 seconds of the smoke. You pump, you fit, you got to, it's like a feel. You don't really, it's not like a timing thing. You feel that DB coming and then you go. And it's a quick throw again because you don't have time to hold it for the deep ball. You're just trying to get into his hands now 7 yards down the field. With a DB chasing, and it's probably another KJ Osborne like he did before, deep touchdown where you could just run forever. That's the, other than that, they were good to me. I liked it. I liked the aggressiveness of doing that. The one screen to Dalvin Cook where he got killed, watch the tape back. We'll see it Monday or Tuesday when they load up the film. That's Darisaw's fault. Darisaw has connection to, I think, Hendricks, whoever was out there. And then for some reason, he turns his head from him. Like, he pushes him. and then turns and looks inside as if like he doesn't know what the ball, like what time the ball's coming out. That was completely his fault. They have four linemen out there and one guy. And that one guy got around Darrisaw because he took his eyes off of him. So if Darrisaw makes that block, Dalvin scores because there's only one other guy coming from the inside and the other linemen were looking inside at him. For some reason, Darrisaw looked inside as if that was his guy coming from the inside. So I think that was just Darrisaw's miscommunication. He'll learn from that. First start as a rookie. There's a lot on his plate, so I like him.
Excellent. Kirk Cousins, by the way, 373 yards, three scores, no sacks. And that's why it's tough for me to nitpick this offense today in the play calling, because there were lulls. There were stretches that were mind-numbingly irritating.
Yep.
However, this Panthers defense allowed 207 yards to Zach Wilson in the Jets week one.
Yep.
They haven't allowed a passer to exceed 200 yards since.
Correct.
So through five games, the most passing yards they've allowed, 207 yards, and Kirk just blew through that freaking brick wall. So certainly a positive in that regard. Vikings fan line, 651-989-5326, 800-320-5326. Isaiah in Minneapolis, welcome to Vikings fan line.
Thank you, thank you. So, yeah, I don't have much negative to say about this game because even though it's frustrating that we have to come down to the wire in order to win this type of game, I believe that moving forward, if the team makes some minor tweaks, and if I also believe that if Kirk Cousins throws for at least 300 yards and Dalvin or Madison is able to run for 100 yards, we will be able to win most of these games or at least stay close and have a chance. What are your opinions on the game moving forward? And if we're able to keep it close, do you think we can pull out the game?
Yeah, I appreciate it, Isaiah. I think Dalvin Cook being back today certainly helped things, whether it's the play action and some of the decision-making they made in the mix, a positive in that regard. We'll get more into the offensive side of things. The goal ultimately is not to keep it close and win games. Let's put teams away and handle business earlier in the game. But if we're going to win the blood-boiling ones, the overtime wins, we'll accept them as they come. 34-28. Is the final Vikings fan line, 651-989-5326, 800-320-5326. And Ron Johnson is here. I'm Nordo, hashtag KFAN Vikes via social media to jump in on the conversation. This is Fan Line. It's Minnesota Vikings football.
Shotgun, designed roll out to the right, throws to the end zone. Thielen caught it and touchdown! 18-19 with a wonderful catch by the boundary front right of the end zone. And the Minnesota Vikings have a 24-17 lead.
Welcome back, Vikings fan line. Nordo from 9 to noon. Ron Johnson, a Gopher great, a Fox 9 star, and an analyst. Minnesota Vikings football, one of our favorites, at 3 Ron Johnson via Twitter.
Yeah, I am on Twitter.
So yes, you absolutely.
I interact too. So people, if you want to tweet me today, follow me. 3 Ron Johnson on Twitter.
Perfect. Speaking of following and interacting on Twitter, I said, hey, you know, use the hashtag KFAN Vikes. New world, you know, most of these kids don't want to call in, but they want to throw darts from a safe zone, which can be the digital universe of Twitter. So I said, use the hashtag KFAN Vikes, which brings me here. How about this? Hashtag KFAN Vikes. Decision making early with field goals, Ron, instead of going for it.
Yep.
Which was a great frustration for me. Turn one of those two short field goals into a touchdown. That would give you an extra point. Maybe to put this game out of reach just on its own.
Yeah.
You end up going for two then, whether it's to chase points, you like the idea of going for two, all of that. Forget all of that for a second. You have a 4th and 4 at the 6 on that first drive after Breland gets the interception. Later in the first quarter, you have a 4th and 2 at the 7, and you kick short field goals on both of those. Your thoughts on decision-making field goals instead of trying to turn those into touchdowns?
Yeah, so the KFAN Vikes field goal 2-point conversion, there was a lot of conversation on Twitter about that today.
It was controversial.
My take, and there's a lot of people arguing with me about this, game theory, Corey Cove and his game theory stuff. I think not only, so the field goal, I'm always a fan of points. Go get the points early. I think we wouldn't have had to worry about this if after every touchdown, we just kicked the extra point. Because then you're up by 2 at the end of the game. And now they're having to kick another onside kick, which not to say they might not have got it and come down and kick a field goal to win it. But you would have had to, you would have been up by, you know, two at the end of the game. I think those field goals, I get it. Go after the points early because you're there. I wasn't a fan of the going for two because you're up, I think, what, up five. Like, I like the going up six, and then it takes them two field goals to even tie the game. And it ended up playing out exactly the way I said it was going to happen. People were trying to explain to me, like, oh, but if they get it 50, if they get it 50% of the time, then they get 1 point anyway. But if they kick the field goal, I think it's like point, it's like 92% of the extra points this season have been made. Give me the 92%. Because if you're talking 50% on the two-point conversion, it's not 50% for everybody. You have to look at the defense you're facing. What are they ranked? What are they good at? If they're good at the run in the pass, if they're good at red zone defense, this is probably not the week to go for two. Yep, they got the on or the they got the penalty, so it moved it up to the one. So that's what they did. Yeah, but you still didn't run a play up the gut. You still tried to go outside. You know, like, in my opinion, you kick the extra point. Period. You take the points, and that's why I think. But yeah, no, I'm fine with the fourth down. You like, yep, the one on the six.
Kicking the field goals instead.
Yeah, I kind of get it because you're it's fourth down. You're on it, but if you're gonna play that way. Maybe run a play where the guy actually has a chance to catch it and score versus the Conklin being body to body with the guy. Like, I want a better play call or something, kind of like last week.
Oh, was it that third down play?
Third and four, yeah.
Where he's right
Conklin,
at the goal line.
Yeah, Conklin's not really separating from the DB.
I think he needs to make that catch personally.
No, for sure. Because you know what? They were saying it was a great play. I think Jeremy Chin was covering him, but they said it was a great play by Chin. But if you watch the actual play, the ball goes through Conklin's hands and gets to his chest. Yeah. So if he reaches out and catches it strong and actually makes the catch, it's probably a touchdown. You know, not probably, it is a touchdown, but he has to reach out and catch it. I don't know if Chin was hitting his arm a little bit or whoever was covering him. But yeah, that to me, if you go get it, attack it, and then take your big 6'6" frame and just push back into the end zone and just a touchdown.
I like it. Let's get back to the fan line, the phone lines, excuse me, 651-989-5326, 800-320-5326. Zach from Springfield, welcome to Vikings Fan Line.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good, man, thank you.
Good. I just wanted to touch on the penalties a little bit. I don't think that's really been talked about lately. So, or not about this game anyway. So I noticed, I think we were at like 10 or 12 penalties, something like that. So I'm just wondering, do you think a lot of them are justified, like, when we did the defensive holding, like, were we trying to, like, stop a play? Or do you think that's something that can be corrected individually during the week by the coaches? And then offensively, too, going back to week one, we've had a lot of offensive line penalties. Do you think that's something that can be fixed? Or is it just a specific personnel issue? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Zach. I'm glad you brought that up. 11 penalties, 98 yards. Those were the ones that were enforced.
Mm-hmm.
We saw week one against Cincinnati, just how detrimental, devastating really is the better word to say in regard to just how stagnant the offense became. And we saw today defensively, there were two third and longs that became first downs via penalty. I think Ole Udo had another couple holding penalties on him just alone today. I know Bradbury had one. And I guess I didn't write them down one by one. The point is, Ron, a lot of penalties, a lot of frustrations in that area, and it's cropping up again. Your thoughts?
Yeah, so if you look at, I think the crew was Craig Wolstead's, I think that's how you say his name. That was his crew. And so if you look at
Wolstead, maybe?
Yeah, Wolstead, or however you say it. I don't understand the W and the R and the O, but that's how people do their names, but whatever. If you look at the biggest thing with this crew and when they face the Vikings, not just the Vikings, but some of their calls, false starts, they're the fourth highest, or no, sorry, false starts are going to happen. Unnecessary roughness, they're the fourth highest in the NFL. So you look at some of the things they were calling roughing the passer, face mask, second highest in the NFL. But when they face the Vikings, it's always gone, for the most part, the Vikings way penalty-wise. For some reason today, I don't know if it's because, again, we know a lot of the emphasis on the NFL has been, you know, the holdings or some of the things. I think some of like the phantom face mask. I don't think that was a
on Dalvin Tomlinson.
Yeah, like they called it roughing. And again, this crew has had the fourth highest roughing the passer or roughness calls, which face mask pulling is one of them. That to me, it was just a brush by grabbing the jersey. His head just happened to turn as his arm was going across. I don't think that deserve that call, necessary roughness.
Maybe, I can't nitpick one by one, though.
Yeah, I'm not going to go each one.
Ole Udo earned his holding penalties today.
Yes,
He is regressing as quickly as anybody we've ever seen with a fresh start and going backwards in a hurry.
Yep,
Bradberry bear hugged the guy. I mean, the offense, I guess, so Breland sat on a route with DJ Moore, gets that defensive holding, where then I think it was Moore, and he tried to make the turn, and the ball was overthrown, but that's because Moore was supposed to be there. So
I don't think he would have got to that. If you don't touch him, don't think he gets to that. Maybe. The way as high as that was and as far as that was out, it's uncatchable to me, but you can't touch him. That's the and I think that's why they called it holding and not pass interference, because there's a big difference in the two.
So I'm in on that, and the holding, I think it doesn't matter if it's uncatchable at that point. That's the note.
Correct, because it's before right. They're calling it before the throw holding, so it was an uncatchable ball. I don't think it was holding though. I just think Breland Breland's outside. So if you're trying to run an outbreaking route past an outside guy, he does have a right to that spot. He just has to keep his arms down.
Yeah,
he was more worried about getting beat than he was of just playing sound technique. You're in the right spot. The coach is putting you in the right spot. Trust the call. And that right there, it was just a panic moment. You know, you feel like, oh, okay, coach told me to sit outside. I'm sitting outside. Oh, crap, he's coming at me.
Yeah.
And he panicked a little bit. But, you know, to your point, yes, Ole Udo.
These offensive Bradberry, line penalties are exhausting.
Those
lack of discipline, lack of execution. It's ridiculous, and it shouldn't happen, and it's happening.
And that's
way
what I'm wondering
often.
About Wyatt Davis. Like, what hasn't Wyatt Davis shown in practice?
How bad has he got
that he's not getting a chance to get in there and show? Because Christian Darrisaw was a huge difference today compared to Rashad Hill. You didn't see the left tackle getting pushed back onto his back. You didn't see the bull rush and Brian Burns. Brian Burns and what's his name, the other guy. They're two good defensive ends. And so when you think about that, you got Brian Burns, you got Morgan Cox. They're both good. And then you also have Hassan Reddick, because Hassan Reddick at the Sam, he
leads the team in sacks.
Correct.
Too.
He comes off the edge a ton standing up. But you didn't see that. Like, you didn't see what we thought we would see if Rashad Hill started. I think it would have been a different game today.
Yeah, and he got hurt maybe on the first field goal or something like that. He limped off.
Rashad Hill?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, either way, Christian Darrisaw was getting a start. Like, it was Christian Darrisaw's day. So my point is, he is the guy. He is a first-round pick. This is the reason why they brought him here.
Yeah.
And it showed today. And I wonder early on in the season, if he had been healthy, how much different could some of those games have been when we were talking about Kirk Cousins feeling the pressure in the hole. We talked about the Rashad Hill holding penalties. We talked about maybe the guard having a hold because Rashad Hill lost his guy on the twist. Where, like today, the Vikings benefited from that. The running back went and hit the guy, and came up the middle wide open and got the sack. So things like that, Lynch, I think who it was.
James Lynch.
Lynch, yeah, he got the sack right up the middle.
And that was all Kendricks, by the way, coming in, just chipping or basically picking a guy.
He ran up perfectly to make the running back take him, and then he ran right. Running back never realized that he was actually running the twist.
Oof.
Lynch came straight through, untouched. But those are the things where offense, they've got to stop with some of the holding penalties like that and just get, you know, it's footwork one. It's getting your feet in the right position, getting your hands in the right position. But, yeah, Wyatt Davis, I thought he would be starting by now, but who knows?
Last bit here, and then we'll take a break, get back to the phone lines. Hashtag KFAN Vikes. Need to cut Joseph now.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't think he's talking about Linval Joseph. He's no longer on the team. It must be kicker Greg Joseph.
What did Zimmer tell y'all a couple weeks ago?
Well, you got to be patient with
the
kicker.
Exactly. Kickers are going to miss kicks. Kickers all over. The Packers kicker missed a ton of kicks. The Bengals kicker missed a ton of kicks in the same game, and they're both still employed.
That's true.
It's going to happen.
Crosby's got a little bit of a track record.
You play to win the game. They won the game.
Crosby's the leading scorer in green and gold history.
Correct.
You can't just fire him after that.
The Bengals moved on. They're like, hey, we're going to go beat the Lions the next week. So, hey, it happens. You miss kicks. Give him some time.
So you golf, okay?
Yeah.
So he's a little right off the green.
Correct.
Against Arizona.
Yep.
You lose the game. Just he needed one more club last week as he just airmails a 49-yarder. That's weird because he was nails from 54 and 55 in the game, but he hits the one that's the difference maker and they win.
Yeah.
And then today, was it 50? I forget what he missed.
Something like that.
And then he misses the game winning. I think he missed two today.
What hash was he on, though? Because I keep forgetting to look at that. But if he's right on the other one, and we said, hey, why not put him on the left hash? If he's right on this one, maybe that's just not remembering. and having a special teams kicking guy to be able to yell into their ear, hey, get it to the left. If you're going to run a play, because you're running one last play to try to get a couple more yards, I get the pass play was right, but maybe run that same pass play to the left so that when he catches it and you spike it, you're on the left hash.
Yeah, like, he missed from 50 and he missed from 47.
Were they both right?
I don't have.
I can't remember.
No,
but
okay.
You got to look at the hash. Like, and again, Corey Cove has brought that up. Why do we have a special teams kicking coach? It's kind of true. Like, why don't we? Like, somebody to keep track of that, because that's what the caddy is for.
Well, we had Nate Kading in 2019 when Dan Bailey was unbelievable for us.
Oh yeah, you're right.
We had Nate Kading in as like the kicking coach, and he'd be on the sideline figuring that stuff out. Then COVID hits, and I think Kading's out of the mix or whatever. And really, everybody
consolidated. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But
think about that. Like, if you have a caddy, your caddy, if you're, 100 yards in or whatever.
Yeah.
Or off the tee even. Your caddy's telling you, hey, you might want to push this drive left so that you have a good approach shot in to the hole.
I need a caddy.
So that's what they probably need for the hey, coach, we need to put the kicker on the left, because his approach shot needs to come from the left hash to win this game. Like, those are the things where sometimes I think coaches just forget because they're so caught up in the moment. And maybe that could be it.
Absolutely. That's Ron Johnson. I'm Nordo from 9 to noon. This is Vikings Fan Line, 651-989-5326, 800-320-5326. One more segment to go with the Vikings Radio Network before we let the network go. But we'll be here for all the way up until Sunday Night Football. Meets us, Paul Lambert, AJ Mansoor, Vikings Overtime in the mix as well. But taking your calls, also using the hashtag KFANVikes via social media. Sam, Saul, Jay, Brent, Lance, Viking Dave. We will get to you shortly. This is Fan Line. It's KFAN and the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.
Goes back to pass on the first play. Protected okay. Sees nothing. Floats out left. Sees less. Now he throws right. And it's intercepted. Yes, it is. It is Bashaud Breeland picking off Sam Darnold right out of the gate with a 7-yard return. Bashaud Breeland, let's go with these Vikings.
Nice instincts, nice interception from Bashaud Breeland. The first attempt of the day for Sam Darnold. And the Vikings were headed the other direction. Loved it. 34-28 is the final score. Like that, too, is in the team is victorious. They improved to 3-3. Ron Johnson is here. I'm Nordo from 9 to noon. 651-989-5326. 800-320-5326. We'll just jump right into the phone lines here. Sam and Baldwin, welcome to Vikings Fan Line.
Hey, guys. Welcome. I guess my first point's been made a bunch of times, the conservative play calling and going into a shell when you get up by a couple points. My second point is, I mean, maybe I'm missing it. Why are we not seeing two back sets with Madison and Cook on the field? Just imagine the explosiveness you could have with the receivers and then our two running back sets with Madison and Cook.
Hey, thank you, Sam. What are your thoughts on getting both of those guys? And we see it a little bit if you look at, and I think they have the best duo, Nick Chubb not playing today. I don't know what the score is. The Cardinals were just blowing out the Browns at one point. But Chubb and Kareem Hunt, we've seen that where it'll be Baker and shotgun, and he has each of those flanking him on respective sides. And both of them either become a running option or passing options out of the backfield. Your thought on two back sets with 25 and 33, Ron?
Yeah, I know they got out to a good start, but looks like the Browns in the second quarter put up 14. So it's 23-14. Cardinals over Browns. The Cardinals have the ball in the third quarter. So, yeah, it's closer than it was earlier. But to his point, I do like the two back sets. And I've talked about that before with Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara way back when, and how effective that was. The only issue with that is with Kamara and Ingram. Ingram was the power back. Kamara was your do-it-all back. Cook is almost like the Kamara in that bunch, but Madison is not Ingram. And so are you still as effective with those two in the game together? Because I would rather not take Cook out the backfield just to give Madison some carries if Cook's going to go out there and run some routes. Like, I don't think it works as well here. But I do get the sentiment. I understand the thought process behind it. Again, Madison could be the lead blocker, you know, if you put him in there. But then do you take out C.J. Ham? I'd say no, because C.J. Ham's one of the best blockers, or probably is the best fullback in the NFL right now. So I get the thought. I get the sentiment of what he's trying to get at. I think there should be some packages in there, but it's got to be more of a triple option type thing where you use the Dalvin Cook one-way counter back with Madison. If you are going to throw a screen, put Cook out there where you put Jefferson. Run the tunnel screen with Cook. So, yeah, it could work, but you got to be very careful and selective when you do it, because now you're taking opportunities away from Kirk Cousins, who's really good with the ball in his hand, and then we see what Adam Thielen can do when you give him chances. Like, he is one of and still the one of the best receivers in the year. Everybody's saying, oh, it's going to decline this year. He's still good.
Yeah, that catch he made today on the sideline.
Ridiculous. The throw was ridiculous, too.
The concentration, thinking back to 2018 in Lambeau when those two defenders were converging and Thielen was falling backwards. And I mean, all he does
but
is make
toes,
amazing
the
catches.
Knee, the ability to kill is, because a lot of, like Chris Carter calls it, kill your weight. His ability to kill his weight and just drop that knee, not go out of bounds before he knows he has the ball. Once it hit his body, and so he was smart enough to not try to reposition it and get it in his hands. He just held it close to his body and fell, which was perfect, because as long as you don't lose control of the ball, it does not matter how you catch it. You can catch it with your thighs. As long as it doesn't move, it's a catch. And you just have to keep it controlled, fall to the ground. And he did that. And that was, I think that's what the refs were looking at, trying to make sure he didn't try to readjust it as he was going down. He never moved it from that spot up against his chest. He just held it close and tight. And that's why it was so good. Because even him, he kind of shook his head a little bit at first because he was thinking like, dang, did I move? And then, you know, the replay came up over the big board. When you heard the Carolina fans go quiet, then you knew it was a touchdown. Because that's the best thing about the TV copy. When in Minnesota when it happens and the crowd goes wild, you know it's a touchdown. Vice versa, when you're on the road and you can't hear anything but the players on the sidelines screaming.
You know it's good for you.
You know it's good for you. Yeah, so that was cool to see. But, yeah, I mean, the throw, again, Kirk Cousins' throw. He puts it in the one spot where Adam could get it. And the DB had to make a perfect dive to get it, and he could not get to it. And we don't give him a credit enough. We know they make jokes about he missed the birth announcement of his first son. You know, he almost missed the throw in the corner.
Yeah.
But that's actually the throw right there to Thielen. Like, maybe he was just trying to throw it to the corner to his firstborn son to say, hey, I know you're coming. I'm gonna make this tight. Like, but you're going to get there. Like, it's one of those throws. He did it before his child was born, and he just did it to Adam Thielen today. So, same throw, and it's still a touchdown.
By the way, in relation to two-back sets, the person with the second-longest run of the season for the Minnesota Vikings.
C.J. Ham.
It's C.J. Ham. His 30-yard scamper earlier today.
He put
today.
The dead leg on that safety, too. I mean, he hit him with the hezzy.
That was a Denfield cut right there.
I like it.
There's no doubt about that. Let's get to Lance in Somerset. Welcome to Vikings Fan Line.
Hey guys.
Hey.
I'm happy about the win and everything, but week after week, I just don't understand the conservative play in the end, instead of like putting a boot on the neck and putting the game away. It, you know, just the plays like after the Darnold fumble and we got third and eight and we handed off to Dalvin Cook. I just don't get that mentality. I'm not an expert, but I just don't know why we don't put it away so we don't have to have the heart attack and the stress at the end of the game.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Lance, and it's a really good question.
If these Panthers go 96 yards, score a touchdown and get a two, just shut it down.
Yeah, it's a very good question that you bring up. It's 2 weeks in a row, and we kind of covered some of it earlier, but even well, I can't remember what the quote was from Zimmer, but it was kind of the idea where you were playing under the pretense that you had shut down Goff and the Lions all day. So you handled things a certain way to run out of clock and, you know, moonwalk off into the winner's circle. This time around, maybe in some ways, that same mindset. And so I can't get out of that way, whether it's hashtag KFA and Vikes. I hear it 9 to noon every single day, and I don't really have an answer on it other than we're seeing first-time OC, you know, not an interest in taking shots. You see a couple of shots today. It's incomplete to Justin Jefferson. But defensively, the conservative nature, just thinking we're gonna find a way. There's almost like a, I don't want to call it arrogance per se, Ron, but if this makes sense, like you've hammered on Darnold in this offense all day. They have done nothing but make their own mistakes, and there's a reason they're down. And there's almost, if there's an arrogance to the idea or a confidence in a false way where it's like, there's no way they're going to go 96 on us.
Right.
But 2 weeks in a row now, we've seen two bad offenses languishing for 3.5 quarters and find ways to get us in the late stages. And that is one of the biggest frustrations, I think, that I have about these last couple of games here, albeit victories. And a lot of fans are pissed off about it, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where when Dan Chisina downed it on the four, you're just thinking like,
what a play.
Right. Great play.
Game over. Good luck, Sam. But
it feels like one of those preposterous statements was going to get tweeted or something like, the 96-yard drive at the end of the game is the hardest to defend. You know, like, that's what it felt like, because it's like, oh, here we go. And when they got him down. Like,
we're
when
making
got
him, it look that way.
Right, but when they got him down early, and it's like, okay, Sam Darnold has to make a great play to even get a first down here. You're like, okay, this is going to end with a safety. Like, Sam Darnold is going to be under pressure. He's going to do something stupid, throw a pick. Nope, completion. And then another completion. Then another, you know, and it's like, oh, here we go. And so, just like the Lions game. I mean, same thing. It's like, what's the worst that can happen? And then it happens. But the Vikings have found back-to-back weeks a way to win and be resilient. And PJ Fleck says this all the time. It's like, I don't care if you fail. What's your response? And I think that's where Mike Zimmer is taking his team right now. Like, Greg Joseph, I don't care if you fail. Like, we're still a team. It's a team game. It takes all 53 of us on this road trip plus the coaches to win this game. So, yes, our kicker missed. Kirk, you got to go win it. Because there's been times, Kirk, where you've thrown a pick or you fumbled the ball and we found a way to win it. When Kirk fumbled it twice against Carolina last year and they found a way to get two scores within the minute of whatever, 22 seconds, and it was Jeremy Chinn. And then who won it? Chad Beebe.
With an assist to Matt Rule's awful time management in the clutch.
Yeah. Correct. And the fumble, though. The punt fumble by or muff or whatever by BB. And then BB comes back. And,
redemption.
You know, like, it's one of those things where you have to play the entire game. And the Vikings are showing that. And so hopefully this gives them, one, a resting energy boost. Because to go into the bye week on a loss, you can't go to Cancun or Cabo after losing. But, yeah, you can book that flight now last minute. Go have you a couple margaritas. Come back refreshed. And then get ready for the Dallas Cowboys, because now you feel like, you know what? No matter what the score is in a game, we have a quarterback that can win a game. And it's been a while, I think, since people have faith. And people probably still don't have faith in Kirk Cousins. Like, people still are going to look up stats to try to doubt that he actually is playing well. Yep, he had a bad game against the Browns, but that was it. Absolutely. Other than that, Kirk Cousins is having a great season.
That's Ron Johnson. I'm Eric Nordquist. At this point, we're going to say sayonara. We're going to say have a fantastic Sunday evening and a great couple of weeks here as we enter the bye to the Greater Vikings Radio Network. The next time you hear from us will be at 6 p.m. 2 weeks from today. It'll be Halloween. Dallas Cowboys in town, and we'll get you ready for a 3-3 Vikings operation, taking on a Dallas Cowboys team struggling a bit out east. 14-10, the Patriots currently beating the 4-1 Cowboys at Gillette. But Vikings and Cowboys in 2 weeks, that'll be the next time you hear from us. Thank you so much for listening to the Vikings Radio Network. Saul, Jay, Brent, Nick, Viking Dave, we will get to your calls, because you can continue to listen to Vikings Fan Line via 100.3 FM, The Fan. That's us. That's The Fan, the Vikings flagship. And also on the free iHeartRadio app. So thanks for listening to Vikings Fan Line. Continuing 651-989-5326, 800-320-5326, hashtag KFAN Vikes via social media. This has been the KFAN Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.
Vikings Fan Line now continues on FM 100.3 KFAN and the Fan Radio Network. Vikings Fan Line on The Fan is presented by Comcast, Honda, Youngstead's, TimberTech, Carboni's Pizzeria, and by Shift Real Estate. To join in on the conversation on Fan Line, call 651-989-KFAN or 800-320-5326. Now it's your reaction to all the action. Vikings Fan Line. Here's KFAN's Ron Johnson and Eric Nordquist.
Welcome to Vikings Fan Line, 100.3 FM, The Fan, the free iHeartRadio app. Thanks for joining us, 651-989-5326, 800-320-5326, the hashtag KFAN Vikes an easy way to chime in as well. I'm Nordo from 9 to noon. Ron Johnson, Gopher Great, Fox 9, Vikings analyst, is with me as well. And the Vikings win 34-28. Much more dramatic at the end than it felt like it needed to be or would be, but the Vikings win. They're 3-3 into the bye week. Next up, Halloween. Trick or treat with the Dallas Cowboys at U.S. Bank Stadium in primetime.
Spooky things happen on Halloween.
Very much. I got some people on hold. I want to get to the phone line shortly, but I want to hit you with this. Which version, and this is courtesy of Todd, hashtag KFAN Vikes, which version of the defense is more representative to what they will be the rest of the season?
Mm-hmm.
The first three quarters, or in the fourth quarter, late stages of games, which one do we... Would the real Vikings defense please stand up?
Yeah, so Ben Lieber and I have talked about this a bunch on the pregame show, and we're both waiting for that. I personally, and I think he's with me on this, I personally hope it's the first three quarters. I hope the fourth quarter is just an exhaustion thing. And we know they love to rotate, get guys in, switch it out. But
have they been rotating as much as you would have anticipated?
I don't think so in the fourth quarter, because I said it when I was watching this game. Everson on that last... run where I think Darnold got outside, he looked gassed. Like, he looked so tired. Like, he had no push. He was trying to get to him.
Because this is Vikings fan line. We're celebrating a win, and we want to break things down. And just looking at this game, the issue that I'm seeing right now is you have Everson Griffin, who was brought in to be a supplement.
Correct.
To
now
be
he's
a compliment. And
he's the guy.
Because whether it's draft picks not working out, which is becoming a theme here, specifically defensively, and Weatherly not necessarily handling business the way he, you know, and DJ Wanham, maybe it's just physical size. He gets washed out a bunch.
Correct.
Everson now is the feature guy.
He's the guy.
And that is not necessarily, I mean, he's great for the first three quarters.
Right.
But old man's getting tired.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the whole thought was, like you said, supplement. Come in on third down. Maybe come in on second and long. Come in on pass. Now he's in there. Like, he's the guy. Like,
he's the starter.
Runner. And so, I think that there needs to be a little bit more attention to detail with him, you know, like really, like, because Everson's not a guy that's ever going to tap out, you know, not unless he's, you know, really gassed.
So Andre Patterson's got to tap him out.
No, Andre Patterson's got too much to worry about. It's got to be little Andre, like Andre Jr.
Oh, AC.
AC's got to keep an eye on Ev.
But he's got the new baby now. Now he's got a lot going on.
You're right. You know, with two kids, how it is. But yeah, somebody's got to have that, you know, whether it's, you know, defensive assistant guy or where they've got to keep an eye on Ev and the defense line as a whole, but mainly Ev. Like, you've got to keep an eye on him and make sure he's coming out when you can have him out, especially if you know it's not a pass play for sure. You know, like third and two, some of those, like, yeah, let's get him out. Let's get him out. Let's get him a breather, get him some water, give him, and then first and 10, you can give him a breather. So that's two plays back to back. He's out the game. Now you bring him back in. Yeah, it's got to be a rest thing. You've got to keep an eye, because I don't know if he said it or somebody else said it, but, you know, he's like, man, my first time back out there, like, I was, oh, Barr, you know, he's like, man, I felt like my heart was going to, or my chest was going to explode, you know, like, my body was on fire. Like, it's different. Like, you can practice all day long, but that game is so different, you know, when your adrenaline gets going, then you get to moving around, you don't have time to rest, because it's not a coach sitting there with a clipboard and a whistle and redoing a play, and then you get to walk around and wait for Kurt to come. No, these guys are going no huddle sometimes. They're getting up to the line quick. It's like 35 seconds. You know, that's it.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Ev is good, but the defense in the fourth quarter, yeah, I don't know the answer to that besides you've got to spell some guys and get some guys in and out. From a DB standpoint, there's no answer. I think it's just time. Like, it's just as time goes through and you're getting tired, you know, you're going through the motions. It becomes a long game,
absolutely.
You know, and maybe they're feeling like they shouldn't be in some of these games, or the way they're in some of these games, they shouldn't be this close. And they end up taking kind of relaxing, because at 8 points, I think they thought, oh, we got this. Like, we got the lead. Then we went up 11 points. Yep, we got this. And then, you know, instead of going for the score, they go for the field goal. You still think you got it. You're like, oh, they went for the field goal? Oh, we got this.
Yeah.
Our offense is going to drain the clock. Nope, doesn't happen. So, yeah, it's, I don't know.
Nick from Barnum, welcome to Vikings Fan Line.
Howdy. How are you guys doing?
Good, man.
Yeah, pretty much this team is going to go nowhere, to Ron's point just then. This team's going to go nowhere under Zimmer. He doesn't go for the throat. You can't let these teams stick around as long. You were talking about it last week. You let these teams stick around. You don't put the dagger in. You don't use your amazing receivers. You just keep running it on first down, sometimes second down also. You put Kirk in, you know, bad positions. You know, I realize Zimmer doesn't call the plays. Okay, whatever. You know, it's frustrating. It's frustrating. It's like you guys say, it's frustrating. I want to win a Super Bowl. It's just way too conservative. We have weapons. Let's use them.
Hey, thanks, Nick. It is irritating. I don't have much. I mean, this has been a significant point that we've covered throughout. You do look at this team, and at 3-3, you love that you're going into the bye 3-3 instead of 2-4. And right. You try to project, you know, difficulty of the schedule coming up. Overall, Cowboys, no joke. Right. Feels like defensively in the past, we've matched up very well against Dak and Zeke, but both are playing at an exceptionally high level right now.
Yep.
I don't even know what the hell's going. Like, Lamar is a magician to me. He's amazing to watch. So we're just hoping we're on the right side of those, you know, curious fumbles that he gives up every other game.
Right.
But they can run all over teams. We have trouble stopping the run. Like, you try to project things out. You know, is there a situation, to Nick's point, not putting the boot on people's throats, putting the offense in bad positions, where over the course of this bye week, is there at least one thing or two things you think, well, Zimmer's out on the ranch. He's got his cute little paddle boat and his man-made pond outside his spot. And he's paddling around, and maybe there's one or two things that he can focus on that makes this team better. Because if we're going to do this every single week, This is not a playoff team, certainly not a Super Bowl contender. But if we can fix or tweak a couple of things where we're not constantly having to go down to the wire every single week, maybe this team can go on a bit of a run after the bye. I don't think it's just one or two things.
Yeah. So from the foot on the throat thing, it's tough to say it's a defensive thing. You know, the defense is more reactive. They're reacting to what the offense does. So you score, we're going to come out and try to stop them. You don't score, we still got to come out and try to stop them. From an offensive standpoint, you're not really reacting. You're always being proactive. You're always attacking. You're always trying to find ways to score. And so I think it's that. When the defense gives you the ball back, you know, turnover, you've got to get a little bit more aggressive. I tweeted that. I forgot after which fumble. I think it was the Everson sack fumble, or not sack, but the Watts sack. Everson kind of cleaned it up, fumble. I think my tweet was like, take a shot. And he does. He takes a shot with the same exact play he tried to run with Justin Jefferson earlier. Comes back, runs it with Thielen, where it's that post or that corner post, where Kirk should have thrown that same type of ball. He threw Thielen across the field for Thielen to catch it, go out of bounds on the other side of the field. Jefferson, he threw it more like a deep, true post. And so in plays like that, again, you could see Kirk was even mad at himself. Like, I want that. And if I can get that throw back, I know I forgot. I got to lead him across the field because the safety was killed.
I think he was like, feeling the heat peripherally.
It was. The guy was coming, but you still got to throw it and take that hit. Like, you know, it's coming.
Yeah.
You get paid.
He's got to make that pass.
$30 million to take a hit in the chest and just deliver a ball across the field. Because Jefferson's faster than Thielen. There's nobody over there to the left. If you just throw it up in the air to the other sideline, Jefferson's going to run up under it and score. There's nobody over there. To his point about that. So I think that's more of an offensive thing. Like they've got to take plays where they're always attacking third and short. You know, in third and short, like you can't be in third and 11, third and 15. But then that goes to the penalties. So that's the other point. Like, it's not so much on the coaching calls. It's what are we given? Like if like you said, if there's a holding or if there's a procedural penalty and I was second and 15, third and 11, third and 12, like there's not much you can call there. I get it. Like there's teams that have gotten third and 27 on us. But there's not a ton of plays you have in your playbook. Where you're like, oh, okay, here's third and 17. What play did I draw up last week? You know, I think that's part of it too. If you're not mentally in, because jumping off size is mental. You know, that's 100% mental. Some of the holding stuff, it's a little mental, but it's physical. So that's perplexing because it's like, how do you stop the holdings? Well, you have to get better at moving and get in front of guys. There's no true answer to it besides stop putting the offense in a position where they can't attack all the time, and it goes back to the penalties.
Absolutely. That's Ron Johnson. I'm Nordo from 9 to noon. Vikings fan line continues 651-989-5326, 800-320-5326. We're with you via fan line into Vikings overtime, into Sunday night football right here on your home for Vikings football and all sports, really. The Fan. We'll be back 651-989-5326, 800-320-5326, or use the hashtag KFANVikes. You're listening to Vikings Fan Line on the Fan.
Your home for all things purple.
Galvin 10-5! Touchdown!
FM 100.3 KFAN, the Fan.
Cousins hands it to C.J. Ham.
Let him go! And look at C.J. get loose left side, 40-50. Into Panthers territory to the 40. C.J. Ham with a long run of 29 yards, by far the longest of his career. In fact, the longest by 20. He runs the Vikings out of trouble. Fresh four from the Carolina 40.
Welcome back, Vikings Fan Line. Vikings now 3-3 after an overtime victory. K.J. Osborne, the game-winning touchdown, 27-yard connection from the arm and the hand and the glory that is Kirk Cousins. 651-989-5326, 800-320-5326. Brent from Alexandria, welcome to Vikings Fan Line with Nordo and Ron Johnson.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'm glad I waited. But so for years, Kirk Cousins has been letting us down in big moments. Defense has finally given our guys a bunch of extra chances, taking the ball away. We'd like to see him convert those turnovers into touchdowns, but it is what it is. But how do you see these moments, these 30-second end-of-the-game drives to tie it up or give us a chance to win? How do those play into the divisional matchups coming up, which are going to be probably the toughest games of the season? That's about it.
Hey, thank you so much for hanging on there, Brent. First, our Liuna, I should say Ron's Liuna, hardest working player of the game. Thank you so much, Liuna. We love you. The Liuna hardest working player of the game is Ron.
Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, how about that? 370 and change. Again, nobody had cracked the Panthers' pass defense all season through the first five games. And Kirk was loose today, three touchdowns, including that game winner to K.J. Osborne.
And the most important, zero interceptions and no fumbles.
No fumbles, no sacks. Got beat up a little bit.
He got beat up.
He had to run for the hills at least a couple of times. But Liuna, hardest working player of the game. Thank you so much, Liuna. Before we go to break, one thing you tripped on, using the hashtag KFANVikes, you've been informed that all of Greg Joseph's misses were from the right half.
And we have to verify that. We have to verify it. I mean, you can't trust people on Twitter all the time. I mean, meat sauce is on Twitter, so they can't always be trusted by their tweets. But, yes, somebody tweeted, even the Arizona kick, we're on the right hash. So that's something we'll have to, I can go back in the film study, you know, and I'm going to look them up and see.
You need to jump in the film room.
I am going to jump in the film. You got a bye week.
Get so the Microsoft Surface.
Yeah, I'm going to do some, I got the Microsoft Surface. I'm going to do a little Dan Orlovsky type breakdowns this week. So make sure to follow me on Instagram as well. That's 3 Ron Johnson on Instagram.
That's the number 3.
That's the number 3.
Not T-H-R-E-E.
Not T-H-R-E-E, absolutely. But the number 3 Ron Johnson on Instagram as well. I'm going to do some film breakdowns this week because we got a long bye week. As we get ready also for the Maryland game, Gophers versus Maryland, afternoon kickoff. So I'm going to get to tailgate so fans are going to that game. I will be in the tailgate lot making my way around all weekend on Saturday.
Free photo opportunities with Ron Johnson. Oh yeah. Looking forward to that. This is Vikings Fan Line. Couple of segments to go. 651-989-5326, 800-320-5326. Ron Johnson here. I'm Nordo from 9 to noon. This is The Fan, your home for Vikings football. Welcome back, Vikings Fan Line. A couple of segments left to go here. 651-989-5326, 800-320-5326. Vikings Dave in Orlando. You're with Ron Johnson and me, Nordo. What's up?
Hello, Nordo. Hello, hey. Ron. How are you?
Good. How's it going?
It's good. I'm in Florida, so it's always good. But I miss my childhood home in Minneapolis, and I'm a longstanding Viking fan. But enough of me. Let's talk about what really needs to be understood. This is a long season. Got to stay healthy. Can't show all the tricks in our bag the first time out, because we're going to face some of these teams second time. And if they can pigeonhole us, then we're going to be up against it. I think all in all, these tearjerkers or teeth biter wins are concerning. But we have to look about how healthy we are, and how we can take each and every game at its best.
I like it, Viking Dave. Keep the faith down in Orlando. I wonder if he's at Disney.
Would be a good place to be right now.
Absolutely. Ron, keeping the faith as his team turns the page in the bye week. For the most part, the squad is healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Hoping that it's just cramps for Patrick Peterson, as the team announced officially via social media. Thank hoping
goodness.
That Dalvin's ankle gets healthy.
Hopefully,
you know, the nicks, the bruises, the bumps over the course of an NFL season. We saw Adam Thielen took some hits today. Everyone gets an extra week.
Yep.
Maybe the team is just holding back their best magic tricks, Ron. Isn't that how it works?
I don't know.
Grind it out, get out alive. They're 3-3, and then boom, completely different operation.
I'm not gonna say that's how they drew it up. No, I don't think it's like, oh, we're just gonna take our time and then eventually. No, like the job of a coach is. And again, I didn't coach that long, but I did coach a little bit. And I think any little bit of time you get with Peyton Manning and Tony Dungy is more than like a ton of time with, you know, Mark Sanchez and somebody else. Like the stuff I learned from Peyton was that every single week. And so I was only there for like the first two games and then the preseason for two straight years. But every single week, it felt like Peyton Manning, like at least that first practice, he was always coming up with new stuff. He was always trying to come up with something different. He was always thinking ahead, like, hey, this guy was on our team this year, so we can't do, or last year, we can't do this. That's a coach's job. Your only job is to coach. Like, that's it. Like, you don't have a second job where you're like going to work at a financial firm, you know, in the daytime, like a high school coach, and then you're coming at night.
Like a State Farm agency.
Correct.
Or
and then all of a sudden you're at night, you're showing up to the Vikings facility to run, you know, past Skelly in 707.
Like Mike Zimmer in a call center.
Could you imagine that? Mike Zimmer taking calls.
A lot of complaints.
About somebody, my dishwasher doesn't work. So what? But just think about that. Like, that's the job. Like, come up with new formations. Come up with new motions. I think Eric Bieniemy said it. You know, he's like, man, every night I go home, I watch other games sometimes just to get a feel for, like, what haven't I done or what could I do differently? Whether I'm using their formation and their motion, but then using my play. You know, he's always thinking, and I'm not saying Clint's not. I'm just saying for that caller, there's nothing to hold back. Like, you don't hold back in the NFL. Like, it's 17 weeks. Every single game matters. You got to win every game. If you shoot your bullets all off in this game, you got to go get a new clip and reload and be ready to do it again. And at the end of the day, you're running the same. I mean, there's not too much. You run left, you run right, you run inside, you run outside, you toss left, toss right. Plays don't change. They haven't changed since my dad played. They haven't changed, you know, since the 1960s besides the new spread offense. But other than that, the run left, run right, run up the middle, pass left, pass right. It's the same. What you do is you change the formations, you change the personnel, you change the motions. That's where the offensive is getting more innovative. Guys like Sean McVay, you know, again, Matthew Stafford, graveyard. Oh, he's not good. He'll never win a championship. He looks really good right now. Like, Sean McVay is giving him the two. So I think that's the key is if you put Kirk Cousins with the Rams, Kirk Cousins is probably the MVP. Like, in that offense, he's the MVP. Period.
It's weird to think about.
So
you're telling Clint Kubiak that he just needs more higher capacity magazines. Is that what you're telling him?
He needs a 100-round clip. He's got to go get the 100-round clip, you know, get the AR-15. He's got to load up, you know, he's got to get the 50-cent arsenal. Like, just go get all the guns, drop a quarter on the table, and let the beat play. Like, he's got to ride out. But, no, I think he has it. Again, we keep forgetting, this is his first year. Even though he's been around football for a while, his dad's been offensive coordinator, head coach, he's been around football. This still is his first year, so he's still figuring it out. Like, he started off on the field, Zimmer sent him up to the booth, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So he's got to figure it out. Like, he's figuring it out game in and game out. Kirk's doing well. Without a couple missed kicks and fumbles, the Vikings are 5-1. So
we need to remind ourselves, Kirk leads us down with an opportunity to kick a field goal in overtime. Dalvin fumbles.
Correct.
Lead Greg Joseph down for a 37-yard kick. It goes right. You lead the team down. You get the win against the Lions. You lead the team down today.
And who called those plays in those games?
I think it was Clint.
Exactly.
I think it was
Clint. So he's doing his thing. He can't call the play for the kicker. besides saying get on the left hash. Like, that's about it.
Well, we need to do some research on the hash stats.
We need to do some bye week hash stats.
And that hopefully Greg Joseph comes out.
Hashtag Kickergate.
Bigger, better, and more efficient. Makes more kicks. Final segment of Fan Line around the corner, 651-989-5326, 800-320-5326. Ron Johnson's here. I'm Nordo from 9 to noon. One more segment before we kick it over to Vikings Overtime. This is The Fan.
KFAN.
Final segment, wrapping it up, 34-28, the overtime victory. The Vikings move to 3-3 into the bye week. Ron, 30 seconds, you get it all. Like, looking forward to what you've seen through six games, looking forward after the bye, what excites you, what worries you?
Exciting is that Kirk Cousins can win a game. You know, he's doing game-winning drives. He's having the, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre, you know, Tom Brady effect, that no matter what part of the game they're in, Kirk Cousins has a chance to bring this team back. What's scary is the fact that they're having to bring the team back. Like, yeah. It should not end up in some of these games, the situation, the fumble, the missed kicks. That stuff has to get fixed. The fumbles more so than anything. The missed kicks, it could be just a hash fix. It could be having a kicker coach come in or somebody remind them, hey, let's get them on the left hash. But other than that, man, if they're 3-3, they were 1-3. And everybody thought the world was over. Now they're 3-3.
It's not. Thanks for hanging out with me, man.
No, appreciate it.
At 3 Ron Johnson via Twitter. I'm Nordo from 9 to noon. Vikings win 34-28, and they get a respite. And they're back at it on Halloween. For those of you listening to the flagship 100.3 FM, The Fan, our pregame will begin at 5 p.m. on Halloween. The Vikings Radio Network will join us at 6, and shortly after 7 p.m., the Dallas Cowboys. Currently battling with the New England Patriots. They'll be coming off a bye week, and they'll be here at U.S. Bank Stadium 2 weeks from this evening. Thank you so much for those that called in, participated in Fanline using the hashtag KFANVikes on social media. Thanks so much for listening to your home for Vikings football, The Fan. Vikings Overtime will lead you up to Sunday Night Football. It's your home for all sports. It's The Fan. Have a great Sunday evening.